Today, the church celebrates Catechetical Sunday and its commitment to religious education, where parents and teachers of the faith are called to do the one thing that matters most in a child's faith development, which is to ask the right questions, especially in our culture of misinformation, where we spend more time arguing over who has the right answers rather than who has the right question. However, on this Catechetical Sunday, I believe the appropriate place to begin this discussion is to recall that we come from a storytelling tradition, which is the proper form of religious education par excellence. Stories are that important. They hold an authority over us because they allow us to step into an event, to move around in it, and make it our own. Therefore, stories can be both healing and liberating. And that's what today's stories do for us. They heal and they liberate. Today, we heard stories of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Something from the animal world, the material world, and the human world. These are not just stories about losing and finding, as they are stories about being made whole. Because deep within us, there is a drive for every person for unconditional wholeness, fullness, and completeness. And this universal drive for completeness is not out of a mindless pursuit of wanting more. Rather, this drive for completeness represents an alignment between God and creation. Because it is the God within you that desires reconciliation, unity, and completeness. To say that again, it is the God within you that desires reconciliation, unity, and completeness. But that statement, as true as it is, risks being abstract. And so it is best that this statement is conveyed in the form of a story, a true story. So once upon a time, my wife and I moved across the country with our careers from here in California across to the state of Texas, where we settled into a new place, 1,400 miles from home, with our twin daughters who were then 3 years old. And after 3 years, on the morning of Good Friday, 1985, I, along with 300 other fellow employees, lost our jobs in the first hour of the morning. I was devastated, but more than that, I dreaded going home to tell my wife and my children. And I remember pulling up in front of the house where Julie and the girls were in the front yard planting flowers. And I just sat there and watched them from the car, not wanting to get out, not wanting history to change. And they looked so complete, whereas I felt incomplete. And when I broke the news to my wife, we found ourselves just sitting on the floor of an empty living room, just weeping, feeling that our future was lost. Well, it wasn't long until the twins found us and asked us what was wrong. Why is Mommy crying? Then my wife gently told the girls that Daddy lost his job, and that's why we are sad. Then there was a long pause, and one of the girls exclaimed, "Don't worry, Mommy, we'll help Daddy find his job." And they started running throughout the house, looking under the beds, inside the closets, pulling up all the sofa cushions, looking for Daddy's job. It was in that moment that we realized that there is no loss, no tragedy that love cannot overcome. Jobs will come and go, but it's the love that we have for each other that has the power to sustain us, to make us complete, and make us found again. Now, my story isn't true because it happened to me. My story is true because on some level, it has happened to each of you. Because we have all been lost and we have all been found. And it's not until you see your life as a parable that the parables in Scripture come to life. But of all the parables that Jesus preached, the story of the prodigal son is perhaps the most endearing, the most human. And as many times as we heard this story, we can always come away with a different perspective. And as you are familiar with it, the prodigal son is a story about the one son who does it right and gets it wrong, and the other son who does it wrong and gets it right. Stories like this are called parables, and they are stories intended to turn our sense of reality upside down to reveal a new reality. But parables are not written to make us understand. Rather, they are stories written to take away our need for understanding, so we can be free from our judgments and live in the moment where God dwells. And so, through the parable of the prodigal son, God speaks to us in a language that we can understand, which is the language of relationship. It is the language of life. Where in our lives have we all betrayed the very relationships we should cherish? Where we run off to distant countries of our own making? We can all become experts in betraying ourselves long before we betray others and place ourselves beyond God's mercy. But in spite of ourselves and how we believe we can dictate to God what is forgivable and unforgivable, God's compassion can never be outdone. The father runs to a son, embraces him, and kisses him. He throws his arms around him and invites everyone to celebrate because his son, who was dead, has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. There is a saying among storytellers that the story begins once the storyteller stops talking. And that's because the story is always about us, and our stories are always unfolding. And so on this catechetical Sunday, the story continues. We began Mass with a sprinkling light, and later we will recite a renewal of our baptismal promises. Why? We did so because both these actions are part of the rite of baptism, where parents are recognized as the first and best teachers of the faith to their children. And if storytelling is the form of religious education par excellence, then parents already possess the very thing that is essential to their children's faith formation, which is their story. And seen that way, parents are the master storytellers of the faith. Perseverance, redemption, trial and tribulation, betrayal and brokenness. These are all the things woven into the fabric of family. And there is always something to learn when seen and heard through the eyes and ears of faith. So I end with the words of author Megan McKenna in her book, Keepers of the Story, which makes a statement on storytelling so well. She ends this way: our stories must heed the presence of God that hides in every breath, in every word and sound and silence, waiting to be found out and brought home. Our stories must ask the ancient question once again: do you believe? We answer, and so we tell stories. All our stories, saying simply,
yes.